The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show first broadcast by Fresh FM with assistance from New Zealand On Air.
This is Fresh FM. I'm Matt. I'm joined on the line by James. He's joining us from State Cinemas, where we talk about what is happening down at Nelson's Independent Cinema, State Cinemas. James, thank you so much for joining us for another edition of At the Flicks.
Always a pleasure and never a chore. I'm excited about what we've got to talk about today. We've got some fabulous new releases, and I'm especially keen to plug a current release that I think deserves to go down as an all-time classic.
All right.
The release that I really want to push is the Sheep Detective, which is maybe not what you were expecting me to say for a potential all-time classic, but it's a fabulous little film. I went during the week with my family, and honestly, it's wholesome, it's funny, it's heartwarming, it's frankly a little bit bonkers. I couldn't recommend it enough. I'm slightly scared that it's gonna fall between the cracks and not quite find an audience. But this is me talking to you guys out there, Fresh FM listeners, pod listeners. If you have any doubts, cast them aside and come and see The Sheep Detective. It's rated PG, violence and coarse language, nothing that my seven-year-old couldn't cope with. It's playing multiple times a day, and it's, I don't know, I'm talking to a different age people here, I suspect, but I remember kind of Sunday afternoon films on the telly when I was growing up, watching it with the family. And it's kind of that level, right? It's kind of that vibe. It's wholesome, it's funny, it's vibrant. And I seriously urge you to come and see it. Wow. The Sheep Detective, starring Hugh Jackman and also a fabulous cast, Emma Thompson. Has Emma Thompson ever been less than fabulous in anything? The answer is no.
Yeah.
And she chews the scenery here. And it's got talking sheep who solve a crime. You know?
Yeah.
Enough said, surely. And this one is PG, rated PG for violence and coarse language. But it's not just a kids' film; it is a family film,
wow.
And that can sometimes be kind of a damning phrase. But in this case, it's totally not. It's glowing in every way. Go and see it.
Okay. And if you want to know a little bit more about The Sheep Detectives, head along to the State Cinemas website, which is statecinemas.co.nz, and you can watch the trailer there, book yourself some tickets, all that sort of thing. Fantastic website, statecinemas.co.nz. Do check it out. Okay, so James, it's a fairly hefty recommendation from yourself. Where would you like to take us next?
Well, I'd like to take us to where you want to go. I'd like you to tell us about a cinema trip that you might or might not have made over the weekend.
I certainly did. I went along. I took a kind of a flatmate friend of ours and my partner to see Iron Maiden Burning Ambition. Now, myself and Mike, the flatmate, are big Iron Maiden fans. Maria, my partner, not so much. So I thought it was going to be an interesting experiment and see how everyone felt about it. We all came out of the movie having really enjoyed it. It's
fabulous.
It's a great tale digging into Iron Maiden, where they started, where they've been, and pretty much it's fairly close to where they are now. It sort of ends up through all the different staffing changes, but the different band members who have moved in and out at different times, the highs and the lows. Now, if you're an Iron Maiden fan, you probably know quite a bit about the Iron Maiden lore, and I would put myself in that camp, but there were still some bits that I'd heard of but never seen, or I'd heard of but didn't have someone from the band quite being so honest about it. It gave insight, and there were some things that popped up that I genuinely knew nothing about. So, it was really entertaining. There were a bunch of other passionate Iron Maiden fans there when we went there, and they were so hyped going in, you know, throwing up the goat's horns. And yeah, it was it was good, you know, a mix of concert footage, behind the scenes footage, covering their career from their early days with the old singer Paul Di'Anno right through to where they are now. And yeah, I recommend it. If you're an Iron Maiden fan, I would say get along and check out Burning Ambition, the Iron Maiden movie. Up the irons.
There's a difficulty, isn't there, with a rock by a music biopic. Quite recently, there was a documentary about Paul McCartney in the 1970s that came out. Fabulous. But they run a difficult line of where to aim their film, and I suspect the Iron Maiden one's no different. Of, are they aiming at die-hard fans who will pore over every detail and who know everything and who want new stuff and feel patronized when they're told the same story? And thereby get really granular and alienate newcomers?
Yeah.
Or
no.
do they aim it at newcomers? And those diehard fans sit back yawning, thinking, oh, I've seen all this before and I know all this.
Yeah. No, I would say they've landed somewhere quite comfortably in between. There is enough behind the scenes and raw stuff that I hadn't quite realised some of the tensions in the band. It's quite open about some of the tensions at times. And some conflict they had with the audience at a particular point in their career that I was not aware of. And it was quite brutally honest. But yes, if you weren't a big fan, like my partner Maria, she came out of it going, I enjoyed that. I really enjoyed it. And she's been along and I've dragged her along to a concert, and she was kind of like, she every now and again goes, oh, Matt took me to Iron Maiden. Ugh. But it gave her it gave her a new appreciation. So she managed to get past her, oh, I didn't really like that, to, I think she's now going, wow, okay, these guys have been around for a long time. And they're still going. They've weathered like the grunge thing that decimated a whole lot of the metal scene back in the early 90s. They managed to navigate their way through that without totally turning into a grunge band themselves. And that was sort of the hard, dark, well, part of the hard, dark period for them, I guess. But yeah, it just, I don't know, showed you that they're a bunch of real and decent humans who love their art form to be able to tell stories and engage with their fans. Look, yeah, all three of us came out, all three of us having different views on Iron Maiden, all came out going, that was cool, really enjoyed it.
Matt, we I think we're probably quite near the end of the podcast without actually having talked about any films.
Okay, so yeah.
Which
so,
I love.
Yeah, no, look, that's all right. So we have the power. What's coming? What's coming to State Cinemas, James? What do you want to let us know about that's coming up this week?
New releases. We have three big titles coming out. The first of which I'll talk about is called In the Grave, which is a Guy Ritchie film. So immediately you kind of know the areas in which we are talking.
Yes.
There's two taglines which I'm gonna give you, which is potentially all we need to say. We will say more, because why not? But the following is probably summed it up better than the waffle that will come up with afterwards. So, when billions get stolen, they were the pros to steal it back.
Woo.
I can't quite do the voice, but you get what I mean. Right? And the other one is between moral and immoral, between black and white, they operate.
Ooh.
In the grey.
Ooh.
So you know where we are, right?
Yeah.
We're Guy Ritchie. It's got a fabulous cast. It's got Henry Cavill. It's got Jake Gyllenhaal. It's got Rosamund Pike. So this is big names, right?
Yes.
Isaac Gonzalez. And it's slick. It's stylish. It's got amazing soundtrack. Fabulous needle drops. It's the story of two ex-cons, basically, who have to steal back the billions that have been stolen. So it's a heist film. It's full of kind of one-liners. You know, it's got Guy Ritchie bands in it.
Yeah.
Constantly. Yeah. They look very cool. Silk shirts, sunglasses, slick back hair, constantly, you know, chucking one-liners back and forth.
Yeah.
Sleek, stylish. It's Guy Ritchie. On top form, I would suggest.
Brilliant. And the stubble. Oh, they're perfect. Perfect length stubble.
That's about 6 months worth for me.
Ah, well. Some of us, you know.
Oh, look. that's a fabulous little pause, and I've got nothing to add there, except bless you.
Yeah.
In the Grey, starring Henry Cavill, James Gyllenhaal, and Isaac Gonzalez, a Guy Ritchie film, is playing multiple times a day, every day, and is rated R13, and it's rated R13 for violence and offensive language. It's very banging crashy. It's very slick. It's very Guy Ritchie. It opens Thursday, May the 14th, which happens to be my birthday. So go and see it. And if you see me downstairs at the counter, say happy birthday.
All right. Cool. We will do that. So hang on. That kicks off. Cool. That is today, if you are listening live on Thursday. Otherwise, the replay on Saturday. You're a couple of days too late to wish James a happy birthday, but I'm sure he will accept it. So, In the Grey, looking good. Guy Ritchie. If you know Guy Ritchie, you know what you're going to get. It's always entertaining. Maybe check it out. All right. So, from In the Grey, where do we go next?
I'm gonna take you from it's a proper Guy Ritchie handbrake turn with explosions. We're gonna completely change gear. We're gonna go to a film called Caterpillar, which is a local New Zealand film set in early 2000s in a leaky Wellington villa. It's a triple header, basically. So there's no single protagonist, and the writer director of the film talks about the gestation period of this film, written over a decade, where she didn't know whether she was going to make it focusing on one particular character or all three characters. And in the end, she found a way of making it work where all three characters share the spotlight, but works as a triple header. So the film is written and directed by Chelsea Preston-Crayford, who is the daughter of Gaylene Preston, the acclaimed New Zealand filmmaker, and the film is auto fiction, so it's not straight autobiography. It's based on the director's director writer's real life experience, but it's not a one for one thing. It's not directly based on that. And so it's told the story of three generations of women in Wellington. The grandmother suffers from dementia, so it's telling the story of how that awful disease affects both grandmother, daughter, and granddaughter, and the effect it has on all of their lives. So the story of three women at pivotal parts of their life, kind of crossroad points in their life, and how they navigate that tragic and difficult road, which, you know, sadly too many of us have to deal with.
Yeah.
Obviously, given the subject matter, it is a not an easy watch. It's going to be very moving. Anyone that's going through similar things will find it pretty resonant with their lives. I'm currently spending a little time visiting an old friend in hospital, and it's resonant. But with the laughter, the filmmaker is very adamant that if you're going to make people cry so much, you have to also make them laugh. There is levity in there as well, right? It's not just unrelenting sadness and gloom.
Yeah.
Which I think we should all be very grateful. I think I've told enough about the plot of the film. and you know, you kind of know what you're getting for. But it's a really, really powerful piece. Highly, highly recommended. It's rated M, and that's rated M for sex scenes, offensive language, and drug use. And it is playing multiple times a day. We opened slightly later on Sunday and Monday here at State Cinema. So that earlier session, yep. Dropped those ones, but it's shown four times a day otherwise. A really, really fabulous film. I think we can safely assume that it will have awards recognition, and deservedly so.
Wow. Okay. That is a caterpillar. So it's only rated M, so that's all right. It is definitely in the drama thing, though. So this isn't a family movie. Don't take them along thinking you're seeing The Hungry, Hungry Caterpillar. A serious film with some moments of lightness, which is always good when you're treading through heavy subjects. But something that touches so many people, as I think you may have said. Caterpillar. All right, we are covering some diversity, as we often do. James, where to next?
Well, I think diversity is what we do best at Date Cinema. I like to think we cater to, you know, you want to go and see your Guy Ritchie, Family Crashy, please do. There's nowhere better to see it on the massive screen with fabulous sound. Mandalorian Grogu coming next week, you know. We love that. Yes. But we also simply adore our art house films. And the next film that I want to talk to you about is an art house film. It's an Irish film. We played it last year in the British and Irish Film Festival, where it was a big hit and deservedly so. It's called Christie. Now, it's not the Christie, which is the boxing film of Sidney Sweeney. This is an Irish. It's a social realist film with a very, very humanist heart. So it's human stories. It tells the story of a 17-year-old Christie, who comes out of a foster home. Comes out of, I think he's kicked out of a foster home. He is no longer welcome at the foster home, and he returns to his hometown, where he has to find a new life. He's kind of down and out. He's at a crossroads. He's moved in temporarily with an estranged older brother who is runs a painting business, but that he's told him very much in no uncertain terms that that's a temporary setup. He has another side of the family, some cousins who are willing to take him in, but they are they're ne'er-do-wells and ruffians. Frankly, they're people that he is drawn to, but we all are hoping, when we're watching it, that he doesn't go with full time.
Sure.
Because they will lead him into no good. So the story is about his navigating those travails. And during the film, we find out that he's has a preternatural ability to cut hair. I going into this, when I saw it at the British and Irish Film Festival, I thought it was going to be a little bit kind of Ken Loachy, a little bit Mike Lee-y, a bit of a slog, a bit heavy going, a bit grim, and you know, hit you over the head with politics and sort of grime and realism. But it's not. It's funny. It's fresh. It's the director, Brendan Canty, who also originated the story. He actually based upon a short film that he had previously made. Is clearly a fabulous filmmaker with a light touch. This is not heavy going. It's more comedic than I think one would think going into it.
Yeah.
And it's funny. It's life affirming. It shows port in Ireland where it's filmed in a really interesting light. You know, they're working class streets. You know, it's not middle class, rather England. It's proper gritty, but funny too. It's called Christie. It's rated R13. Then it's rated R13 for drug use and offensive language. It's playing multiple times a day, and this one is my new release of the week. Actually, it's really, really worth watching, and I highly recommend it. That's Christie.
Cool. And one of those film festival films that you have brought back, which is always good, because quite often people do miss out. They hear about them later and think, where was I? But State Cinemas is one of the good things that you guys do.
Well, hopefully one of many. We do. We bring back our film festival films, and we also make blooming good ice cream. And off topic, absolutely. But I'm increasingly aware that people think that we buy our Chop Top ice creams in. And no, people, we make them ourselves for you out there, which is why they are Nelson's best ice cream, not Nelson's best cinema ice cream. Just come in off the streets. You're welcome to come in and just get an ice cream.
I've done
that. Hand rolled.
I've done that many times.
And I hope you will do it many, many times more.
I will.
But that has got nothing to do with the fantastic film Christie, which is opening this week, and I urge you to come and see. And if you do come and see Christie, which I hope you will, get yourself a Chop Top, which we hand roll ourselves, but also stick to the end credits. And it's got a rap scene that features some real life people from the area in which it was filmed. Highly recommended. Stick around to the end.
Cool. I enjoy when you've got the perseverance to stick around and there's a little morsel at the end. There's nothing better. I know, of course, it's the thing you do with some of the superhero franchises, you know, the Marvels, yes, and that sort of thing. But I love it when there's a little bonus tucked in the end for people who have hung around. So, all right, Christy, stick around till the end. All right, James. So that looks like an interesting little tale. Where to next?
I've pretty much done. All I want to say now is that we also have a Malayalam film, Akiradi, coming out this week, playing on Friday, May the 15th at 8, 10pm, Sunday, May the 17th at 8, 10pm. As we talked about before, we have a really good relationship with the Malayalam community in Nelson here at State Cinemas. So thank you guys for always coming out and making the Malayalam Indian films that we show a success. Let's hope that you come along and enjoy that one as well. Ratings be confirmed. We also have coming up from the 27th of May to the 17th of June, the French Film Festival of Aotearoa 2026. Brochures are available now in the foyer of State Cinemas, and hop onto www.statecinema.co.nz to find an online brochure. So come along and get excited about the French Film Festival as the Ravine Architecture and Design Film Festival wraps up.
All right. Oh, so many things on the way, so many teasers for upcoming events, so many good events on at the moment. State Cinemas, you do a stellar job, and the website I can't recommend enough. If you want to know more, head to statecinemas.co.nz. That is pretty much where we are going to leave James for another week. James, thank you once again for your time and for telling us about what is happening down at State Cinemas in Trafalgar Street, Nelson. Always appreciate it, and yeah, look forward to seeing you same time next week.
Looking forward to it myself, Matt. Thank you very much, and then you've been very kind about what we're doing here at State Cinemas. May I say that what you do at Fresh FM is also fabulous. I know we were talking before we went on air about some of the shows that you produce. Really well worth going through the schedule that Fresh FM to find some hidden gems.
Oh, thank you so much, my friend. Checks in the mail.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast on Fresh FM with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.net, for our contact details.